On the rooftop edge, she waited, eyes tracking down the length of the street while she sat with one knee dropped over the side, the other tucked under her chin, ears attuned to the small sounds that marked the climber's progress toward her. Here, four stories up, the smell of rotting garbage was a little less putrid, the air a little cooler, and if she chose to stand and stretch, she could see beyond the expanse of treetops and dusty, low-slung houses, through to the port, a barely visible patch of primary colors against the ocean. This was Djibouti. Dirty. Quiet. Corrupt. A world far removed from the rainforests and humidity and familiarity of equatorial Africa where she'd been born, yet so much the same. Pinprick on the map between Somalia and Ethiopia, a desert nation of less than a million that bottlenecked the mouth of the Red Sea. This, the capital, was where half the population lived. Chatter rose from below as women, heads wrapped in colorful scarves and dressed in ankle-length sheaths, passed by with their bundles. Scratching from behind told her that the climber had pulled himself over the ledge, that he'd stood and dusted his hands off on his pants, that he strode slowly, deliberately, in her direction. Vanessa Michael Monroe didn't turn to look, didn't acknowledge him when he stopped beside her to peer down at the street, ignored him when he sat a few feet away, and with a satisfied sigh, dropped his legs over the side, leaned back, and surveyed the area. Most of what surrounded them was single and double-storied buildings, mainly residential and strung along in both directions, some nestled within dirt-strewn walled compounds and some not.
"It's a good view," Leo said. "Better breeze up top, not so much smell."
She didn't answer, continued to ignore his presence. He could have spared himself the effort of the climb, spared her the effort of small talk, if he'd simply waited until she'd returned. Instead, he'd come for her, which was his way of marking territory, a reminder that he was familiar with her routines and could invade them if he cared to. She allowed him to believe it, just as she allowed him to believe that he knew who she was, where she'd come from, and why she was here. They sat in silence, and in spite of the lowering sun and the evening breeze that had begun to cool the air, sweat still trickled down her back and neck, soaking her shirt. The heat didn't bother her the way it would him, so she let him have the discomfort and the lengthening quiet until finally he broke and said,
"We board at 2 this morning."
His English was thickly accented, and that he chose to use her language instead of the French with which they typically conversed was more of his pointless point-making. She said, "I'm still not interested." He nodded, as if contemplating her defiance, then stood and, with his toes poking over the edge, studied the ground, wiped his hands on his pants again, and took a step back.
"It's for you to decide,"
he said.
"But if you don't board, I want you out by tonight."
Chin still to her knee, focus out over the dirt alleys, rooftops, and laundry flapping on many lines, she said, "Why?
If I come, I'll just get in your way." "That may be," he said. "But still, you come, or you leave."
She glanced up, the first she'd deigned to look at him. "And then who will be your fixer?" He took another step away from the ledge.
"I managed before you got here," he said, and began to walk away. "I'll manage after you're gone."
She straightened and her gaze followed him.
"It's not you who has to manage without me," she said. "You shouldn't be the one to make the decision."
Leo paused, but kept his back toward her. She studied his posture, counted seconds, readied to slide out of the way
if in response to her provocation, he moved to shove her off the building. "You'd have been better off making arrangements to board in the afternoon," she said, "when the cut trucks come into town." His hands, which had tightened into fists, loosened a little. He turned toward her, and she watched him just long enough for him to catch her eye. Then she shied away in that guilty manner people caught staring often did.